Blog Talk Radio.
Birthdays today, the last king of Scotland, 1556, James VI, who was the son of Mary, Queen of Scots. He succeeded to the English throne, became James I, and of course he's author of the King James Version of the Bible. He also he was brought up as a Protestant. He was also supposedly either bisexual or gay. A famous French scientist born this day, Blaise Pascal. Great actor. He played in Gentlemen Preferred Blondes, a heavyset guy with a great voice. He was also in a Ronald Reagan movie where he plays the doctor who cut off Ronald Reagan's legs. And Ronald Reagan wakes up and says, "Where's the rest of me?" And Charles Coburn was the doctor who was the villain. Charles was born in 1877. In 1896, very controversial woman even to this day, Wallace Warfield Simpson, who desired to become the Queen of England, like this current woman who's married to Prince Charles, although her claim is much stronger. Wallace Simpson had been married to a naval officer, and there's a lot of questions about what her role really was. She was in Asia. Not that much is known about her, or this part is not known about her. I learned from some of my military friends. Also, supposedly she would spank, she married Edward VII, who was never crowned. The English Prime Minister Baldwin was opposed to the king marrying a divorcee, twice divorced, I think she was, and she was an American besides. Edward VII said, "I can't live without the woman I love," so he abdicated the crown in favor of his younger brother, who became George VI, and who never wanted to be King of England. In fact, died an early death. He died before his older brother. George VI died in 1952. Edward VII, who became the Duke of Windsor, died, I think, in the mid-70s, and then recently Simpson died. They lived around the world. He did have Nazi sympathies, and that was, of course, they were German background, and we'll get into that in a minute. So they shipped, during World War II, they shipped him off to be a governor of, I think, Bermuda. You know, it was pretty nice down there. Didn't have to worry about those English winters. So she was born on this day. Guy Lombardo, who was one of another man who came from Canada, came down here to contribute and not corrupt. We'll get into some of these corruptors from Canada. So a guy who was involved in the oil business. His name was, I think, Julian. Many scandals with this guy, and of course, it's very relevant because he came out of, I think, Alberta, and Alberta's important right now because of the tar sands and supposedly a pipeline to be built from Canada down to the Gulf of Mexico to bring in this oil to make us, the United States, free of the bonds of the oil barons and sheikhs in the Middle East. Alan Cranston, who was a U.S. senator, who's also a journalist, Cranston was a one-worlder. It's very not many people know that. He was senator from California, but before he became senator, he was a journalist, and he copied, I think, and did a little editing illegally on Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf, and there was a lawsuit about it. Cranston later ran for U.S. senator, and he died, I think, in the early 80s. Another Californian, a landmark U.S. Supreme Court decision is named after him, the Younger decision, which meant that a person who was tried in a state court had to seek relief in the state courts first before they went to the federal courts, unless there was some extenuating circumstances like there was in another case we've been working on. F.L. Younger. Younger was also, I think, the Republican state attorney general about the same time as the Manson family was causing all this chaos. And in fact, I met Charles Manson on the street. He backed me off the street when I lived in the Haight-Ashbury. Let's see, who else is? Oh, Louis Jordan, another actor, was born on this day. He had a very rich voice. New York Times' movie critic, Pauline Kael, born this day. Another actor, Malcolm McDonald. Remember him in Clockwork Orange. And then another Englishman, when we went to England, Salman Rushdie, who got into trouble for supposedly blaspheming the Quran. I don't know how you do that. Among the deaths today, in 1867, the Emperor Maximilian. Now, Maximilian was the younger brother of Franz Joseph. They had to find something for him to do. So Louis Napoleon had decided he was going to set up an empire in Mexico, and he needed a puppet. So he talked to Maximilian, who was an Austrian Grand Duke, and Maximilian had a wife named Carlotta. There's a famous movie called Juarez, and it has some connections to San Francisco. Benito Juarez was the president of Mexico, and he had fought against Maximilian and the French. Now, while the United States was involved in the Civil War, the French sent an expeditionary force, French Foreign Legion, nearest to back up Maximilian, who set himself up as the Emperor of Mexico. And Benito Juarez, who was mestizo, Indian, and Spanish, fought him and won. Now, Benito Juarez was the grand uncle of Raul Almison, who was a family fled to the Philippines from Mexico because of all the upheavals and the Civil War and all the other violence. Later, he became a lawyer just before Pearl Harbor, and was at Corregidor and escaped with his pregnant wife. And the Japanese army was chasing him and his wife all around the Philippines. After the war, he resumed his legal practice, or started it because he didn't have a chance to practice it. Made a lot of money, sent his daughters to Europe. One of the daughters married the descendant or relative of General George Collette Marshall, the distant relative. And, of course, they immigrated legally to the United States, and Raul became a lawyer for the poor and the veterans, and fought against HUD corruption here in San Francisco. And you see his picture on this blog talk and also on our Amicus Veritas website, AmiCusVeritas. We'll probably put something up on our YouTube site at Amicus Veritas also. On this day, yesterday, Monday, we reported that Chief Associate Justice Waymo Douglas had granted a stay of execution for the Rosenbergs, who were convicted for spying and for Russia and their role in obtaining the atomic bomb secrets and giving them to the Russians. These Rosenbergs were Americans. They were communists, and there were a lot of people who were opposed to executing the woman. But even the Pope asked Harry Truman to grant life imprisonment. But Harry wasn't having any of it. And it's a very interesting trial, which all of the participants in the trial, the judge, Erdman Kaufman, the prosecutor, Roy Cohn, the defense lawyer, were all of Jewish heritage. I don't know if they practiced, and that's why I use that phrase. And the Rosenbergs, of course, were of Jewish heritage, but probably didn't practice. So they were executed on this day in 1953. And there's still a lot of controversy about that execution. It happened, they were executed at Sing Sing in New York State Prison. In 1989, Isidore Stone, known as I.F. Stone or Izzy Stone, who was a leftist columnist, he died on this day. And among the events in 1778, George Washington finally left Valley Forge. It was warm enough, and this was one of the most trying periods in his military and political life. In 1867, slavery was outlawed in the U.S. territories in Texas. In 1862, excuse me, and this was a year before Lincoln gave his Emancipation Proclamation speech at Gettysburg in 1863. And what people should remember, that a key phrase in that proclamation was that if the South had returned to the Union, they would discuss the problem of Negro slavery. So there was a catch in, and Lincoln was a sharp lawyer. He was a railroad lawyer for the Illinois Central Railroad, and to be a railroad lawyer in Lincoln's time was a license to steal and do all kinds of manipulations. Lincoln also got the capital of Illinois, the state capital, moved from Vandalia to Springfield. He's quite a guy. A lot of people, and great mystery, some things that Walt Whitman had said about Lincoln. He was an enigma. People could never figure him out. A lot of people couldn't. And, of course, there's this outrageous gay propaganda that Lincoln was a closet gay. I don't think that is proven anywhere. Now, also, during the Civil War, the Confederates had a navy. They had a ship called the CSS Alabama, which I believe was built in England. And it sank a Union ship called the United States Kearsarge, and it was a big dispute that whether the English, since they had a hand in building this ship, this Confederate ship, and the destruction of a Union ship, that the English should pay reparations to the United States, and I think they finally did. In 1865, all the slaves in Texas were finally freed. Now, I don't know why it took them so long. Also, in 1910, the first Father's Day celebration or recognition of the fathers was celebrated. In 1917, this gets back to the Duke of Windsor. George V, there was so much hatred against the Germans, even in England. And remember that the English monarchy from the time of the Georges were all German Protestants. And at the time of the World War I, the head of the English Navy was a guy named Louis Bettenberg. That was the German family name, although he was English. And so finally, there was so much hostility against the Germans that George V, who was also descended from Saxe-Coburg, the consort of Victoria, who was the grandson, decided that all the English royalty should dispense with their titles and their German names. So the English royal family is today called Windsor. They were formerly Battenbergs. And, of course, the Duke of Windsor was Edward VII. And then, of course, the most famous and most prominent naval officer in World War II was very photogenic and was also the guy who was Governor General of India when they got their independence, Louis Mountbatten. His father was also a Battenberg. So that's where the names come from, Mountbatten and Windsor were actually Germans. In 1934, the Federal Communications Commission was created, and it's been co-opted by these leftists. Hopefully we'll get rid of them if Mr. Rowe resigns or is impeached. 1961, the Supreme Court of the United States, also known as SCOTUS, struck down a state requirement in Maryland, which required that all state officials believe in God. And, of course, Maryland was founded by Catholics, by Lord Calvert. And talking about religion, in 1967, Muhammad Ali, later formerly known as Cassius Clay, he refused to be inducted, and he was prosecuted. And, of course, this weekend is Texas Emancipation, or today is Texas Emancipation Day. Now, among the we usually hear about American political scandals, but there's major political scandals in two of Canada's largest cities, Montreal. Two of their mayors have been indicted under Canadian law, and the mayor of Toronto, the biggest city in the English province of Ontario, or well, they call themselves English. Their mayor was supposedly involved in drugs. It sounds like Marion Barry, again, who was mayor of Washington, who was videotaped snorting cocaine. And their mayor up there in Toronto, I think they're going to try to force him out. Montreal is very interesting. They had a mayor named Duplessis, who was known as the Richard Daley of Canada. And he ran Montreal like Richard Daley ran Chicago and the Democratic machine, which he took over from Kelly and the other Irish ethnics who ran Chicago's Democrat and Cook County's Democratic political machine. Now, what's also interesting, we hear about this bicycle agenda that, how it's being accepted by people around the world and successful bike programs. Well, the in Montreal, the bike program there is in deep trouble. Understand it may be bankrupt. The city doesn't have the money to pay for this agenda. A similar situation is happening in Toronto. And, of course, we have just learned that some of the bike propagandists here in San Francisco City and County want an expenditure of $600 million for these bike lanes, which some of them that exist right now go nowhere, and they also are hazards in traffic. We'll get into that, and we are putting up on our The Worst of San Francisco, which is a whole new video e-magazine series documented, where we'll show how this bicycle agenda is costing the insurance companies when they have these injuries, is costing the people who are paying these premium, these policies, they are paying for these bicycle collisions and reckless driving that causes these collisions and injures and kills pedestrians. All the taxpayers are paying for these bike lanes that go nowhere. These bicyclists don't pay for parking. They don't have licenses on their license plates on their bicycles. They don't. A lot of them don't have safety devices, and they're supposed to wear helmets, which they don't. And of course, they don't have liability insurance for the havoc and the injuries that they cause, running down pedestrians and killing a couple of pedestrians who happen to be senior citizens. This is one. There's a growing disgust with this agenda. Now, another stupid thing that's happened, and this, as a person who's worked in the animal field for 50 years, this business of leaving a child alone with an animal, whether it's a cat or a dog, you cannot do that because children don't. In fact, when I interviewed Dr. Robbie Reed down there in Australia, who is known as the media veterinarian of Australia, a great voice, and I'll run her interviews again, she gets into this point that people around the world, it's not only in America, they leave their child alone with a cat or dog, and the child doesn't know any better, and they will pull a tail and pull the ears and do things to the animal, and of course the animal reacts and injures or kills the child. This has happened yesterday where this family in across Union City, California, which is a kind of a bedroom community of San Francisco and Oakland, this heavy-set six-year-old child jumped on the back of a pit bull. And, of course, all that weight on the pit bull, and the pit bull, no self-respecting dog's going to put up with that anyway. And, of course, the dog reacted and killed the child. And of course, the parents are, you know, oh, we, you know, we're not responsible, and it's the dog's fault. And the poor dog is going to pay the price, is going to have to be put down under state law. This is not the first time this has happened, when people stupidly and irresponsibly leave their children with unattended with an animal. You cannot do that. And, you know, and this isn't the first time that a child's been injured or killed. Now, also, this is coming out, and at the time when I had my American Issues Forum back about 7 years ago, we invited people of different political persuasions to come and meet other people of different political persuasions and to find common ground in the problems that faced all of us commonly. Anyway, we had a Army Special Ops fellow, a veteran. And he had done engineering and all these type of explosives. And this was the time after the TWA Flight 800 tragedy, which incidentally has a big California connection, where the graduation class of a high school in Pleasanton, California, this was their after graduation present. I think the soccer team, if I'm not mistaken, and they were on that flight flying to Europe. And, of course, everybody that I've talked to and from what I know about military ordnance believes that that plane was struck by a missile. Now, whose missile was it? We don't know. But now, Jack Cashel, probably America's most unappreciated author, he's written many good books, Popes and Bankers, John Brown's Body, which was about another plane crash in Croatia, which was another cover-up. Ron Brown had a bullet in the back of his head, and the Air Force pathologist issued a report on that. I mean, how a guy who's in a plane that crashes in the side of a mountain gets a bullet in the back of his head is a big mystery. That's quite a feat. Anyway, he wrote this book, Jack Cashel wrote this book, TWA Flight 800 tragedy. Of course, TWA is not, they went out of business. And I highly recommend getting this book. Now, a video is coming out which refutes the claims that this was a mechanical failure, and the people that we had on our program those back then at the American Issues Forum all believe, from the photos that they saw of that, of the reconstructed salvaged parts of that plane, I believe that it was hit by a missile or something very similar. Now, interestingly, before the TWA Flight 800 was scheduled to depart from Kennedy Airport, in fact, I flew out of there to Europe about 10 years before that, in fact, we had some high school students on our flight, and they were up all night. We were ready to dump them over the Atlantic, but that's another story. Anyway, it's my understanding that an LL jet was supposed to be in the slot that the TWA 800 slot jet was, and it was switched around, and the LL jet left, took the plate, replaced the TWA flight 800, and so it would be interesting had that. If that was a missile, and if the LL jet was there in where the TWA plane ended up, the LL jet may have been destroyed over New York's harbor. And could very well be that the TWA jet may have been hit by, let's just say, some interesting people who were unfriendly to the United States. It could be that. But a lot of the people who were on the shore that night said this thing comes streaking from the water into the sky. So that's where it's at. And so I'd highly recommend getting Jack Cashel's book, and First Strike, it's called, and also his other books, Popes and Bankers, because the Catholic Church is going through a huge upheaval, not only because it refused and neglected to deal with the pedophile scandal among the priests, nuns, and brothers ranks, and oh yes, nuns molest children too, and it has happened. And his other book on What's the Matter with California, where he dealt with it's the first book to really, since some of the early, since Gentry and some of the other authors have dealt with this, the Golden State out here, although the tarnish is coming off of the Golden State. People are leaving for good reason. They're getting tired of these political agendas. But I highly recommend getting his books and the one on deconstructing Obama. Now, I understand also, and this is the second admission from Ayers, Bill Ayers, who befriended Obama, Mr. Rowe, that he is really the author of Dreams of My Father, which cynics have referred to as nightmares for the rest of us. And maybe that's the appropriate title. But Ayers had given a speech at a college and was videotaped in which he said he was the author. Now it comes out that he has said this again. So this is going to be really interesting, this piece of political plagiarism passing off as some great book. Somebody made a lot of money on this. Anyway, so Cashel did Deconstructing Obama. I highly recommend that book also. And we are taking our Easy Pickings, which Jack Anderson had written about and was unfortunately had to withdraw it early because of publishing problems. But what we're going to do is include a chapter in our video e-magazine called Easy Pickings When Government Grants and Greed and Graft Embrace. And it's going to be documented. And also, I'd recommend you go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We try to make it varied. We have the last of the old-time hardware stores, Working Man's Hardware, something to see if you're coming to San Francisco. If you want to see what an old-time hardware store looked like, because all we have now are the box stores, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, and also Ace and True Value. I don't know if there are any others around. And, of course, the Chinese are getting into this also because a lot of our hardware is now made in China or Korea. But this is a place in San Francisco's Mission. The guy's a native Californian. Him and his brother served in the American forces during World War II. The younger brother died recently. And we have one more audio interview to put up on Amicus Veritas YouTube. But you will see what an old-time hardware store looked like. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. And also we're having fun with our Cat and Canine Tales of the City. Which we try to put up animal antics and anecdotes. So we are going to be interviewing Patrick Butler, who's just written a book on Chicago called Ravenswood area. And those of you who are familiar with the area, it's an area settled by the Germans and I think some Poles and Scandinavians. Of course, they were next door in the uptown Edgewater area. And it's quite fascinating because Chicago is known as a city of neighborhoods. And we don't hear that term very much. I think they applied it to New York, but you don't hear about it in San Francisco or Los Angeles or St. Louis or Boston. But we'll be interviewing Patrick on that and talking about the most interesting politics in the country, which I believe come out of Chicago and Cook County. Where the graft, as I was told in a cynical tone of voice from someone, it's honest graft. It's none of this pretensions that we're helping poor little animals, the AIDS victims, affordable housing, and all of that. So we're going to end with our usual politics and poker, and unfortunately, somebody has been playing politics with some of these issues, but they're playing, we think now, they've got a losing hand.
Say, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you $5. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I. Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You okay through the nose?
Okay, what's the plan?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and polka, politics and polka, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet.
Where's the call of duck?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Well, we'll see which is more important. This is Peter Paul Verzola. We'll be back Friday. And stay safe. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSPERITAS YouTube. Good night.